cute. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome here on Thursday morning. Thursday morning. Want to apologize. Yesterday, I told my wife I didn't think I had a very solid show yesterday. Maybe it put it together is better than I thought. Man, I was under the weather yesterday. I took about 3 2-hour naps yesterday. Slept great last night. Still not at the top of my game, but lucky to be alive. You know, I was thinking today how much we take our health for granted. Holy smokes. We take our health so much for granted. And you think about all the problems that are going on in the world and all the things that could be happening in your life. Michelle was sick. She's down for about 3 days. And my goodness, does that change the way things go in our house. But without her little butterfly girl up running around doing everything. Well, I just thank God for health. And I'm not griping and moaning that I got whatever I got. And I just claim the healing power of Christ to flood in me. You know, we can blame. Well, I believe in miracles. I believe God could touch me and heal me right now. I believe that. But you know, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives that are just the natural consequences, of our behavior. Maybe I'm not eating the right type of food. Maybe I'm not getting the proper kind of sleep. Maybe I'm breathing stuff that's in this air. There's a lot of factors out there that are working against our health. And it's probably amazing that these old bodies that we have stay as healthy as they are. And I've been working hard, watching my diet, trying to cut a little bit of weight, trying to do a lot of different things. Man, oh man, this has been a we don't usually have winters like this in Ohio, and that it gets this cold this early. You hit January 28th. That's Michelle's birthday. You hit January 28th. You can expect that weekend, early part of February, weather really gets nasty. But man, it's been a January like I can't even believe here. It's 10 today, which isn't, you know, we're on a heat wave, I guess. It's cold all throughout America, and just praying for spring. Praying for spring. Got a lot going on. Hey, I gotta just cover a couple things. Chad's got his event coming up this weekend. Chad, jump in here real quick. Fill us in. Fill everybody in. I'm gonna go to Noblesville, Indiana. I told you that yesterday. Gonna go to Noblesville, Indiana, from 2:30 to 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. That's on the website there. Come and join us. Come on, it'd be great. I'd love to look you guys in the eye, shake your hand, and pat you on the back and try to encourage you a little bit. It's only 2 hours. If it takes 2 hours to get there and 2 hours to be there, get a meal, you'll be home. It'd be better than sitting in front of the football, the TV watching football. Come and join us, Noblesville, Indiana. That's Saturday. Chad's got a big event coming in for all you Texas folk. Fill us in there, Chad.
Okay. Well, we're kicking off at usual time, 7 p.m. on Friday the 19th. We'll do burgers and all that kind of stuff and hang out, and then we'll do official kickoff there Saturday morning about 9 a.m. with coffee and that kind of stuff, and then we'll start right into our spiritual warfare, and then we'll transition into the rest of the day, and then Sunday, same kind of thing. We'll have a big breakfast Sunday morning, and a lot of eating, a lot of fellowship, and really mainly. It's really about worshiping and us coming together as an assembly, because forsake not the assembly of ourselves. So I'll encourage everybody. Look, I don't care if it's 2 hours or 10 minutes. You get over to these fellowship places. These guys are putting it on. They're doing a lot of work behind the scenes. So I've been on the phone with Rich, and we're trying to coordinate this, make it real special for you. So everybody in that area, it'd be worth it to come in there in Indiana and go in and be a part of it.
We need each other, Chad. We need each other, man. We're so divided. Most of us are not plugged into a local church. Some are, but most aren't. And those who are plugged into a local church really don't have a whole lot of fellowship going on. Here's where I almost went with the program today. I'm sorry, Chad. Were you done? I didn't mean to cut you off like that.
I get emails all the time. Let the people talk.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, Dave. That's fine. All good.
Okay,
yeah.
So anybody can come chat. If they can only be there Saturday, if they can only come Friday, whatever. Just come and get to know each other. How many expecting, maybe, Chad?
I was thinking about 20.
Good. That's awesome, man. You're building yourself a good team down there. And I hear from your team through emails regularly, brother. So, Chad, I'm so proud of you. I want you to know that. We want to do that in Noblesville, too. We want to be able to do this all across America. We're going to need each other, guys. We are going to need each other. And one of the things I was going to do a program this morning. I was up at 3 o'clock, if you can believe it. And a lot of times I get wakened up by the Holy Spirit. This time I got wakened up by a big lump in my chest to cough. So I couldn't lay in there and cough beside Michelle anymore. So I got up at 3 o'clock and I was kind of moseying around what I was going to go to. One of the things I wanted to talk about, but I'm not going to do it today. I'm just going to throw it out there as a little bit of a bone for you to chew on, is how our churches are not at all focused, or how do I say this? There's no focus at all to equipping and training men to be men. None in the church. And one of the things I did this morning is I was messing around a little bit. I had churches pop into my head. Like I put World Harvest Church. I know Pastor Rod Parsley, not picking on Pastor Rod, and go to his website and look at all the ministries they have. No ministry for men. I go to some other local church down the road and I Google on there and they got their little website there and their ministries. You click on ministries and you go down there and there's no ministry for men. I go to another one and men's breakfast Saturday morning. And I know what men's breakfasts are all about. And men's breakfasts basically are guys get together and they talk about the Buckeyes and the Browns and hunting and the snow and they eat hamburgers and they go home. Or they fall into that trap where they try to get in contact with their emotions and it's okay for men to cry and all that malarkey. But there's really nothing. There is nothing in our local churches that are designed to train and equip men to be men. We don't even know what that means. But see, one of the reasons that happens, I'm feeling better today. I don't know if you can pick up on it. One of the things that happens is men don't even know what it means to be men in America. We don't even know what it means. If you're a man, hey, folks, Donald Trump's a man. You may think he's harsh. You may think he's crude. You throw whatever word you want to out on him. That dude's a man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah, I throw in real fast. Okay, so that's right. People berate Trump for being what he is. Who said anything about Cory Booker? Cory Booker.
Oh, that
Cory
big,
Booker, who's a closet down low boy.
Yeah.
And yells at women when he thinks he can get away with it.
Right. I don't know if you guys saw that video of Cory Booker yesterday. It was unbelievable. But see, part of it, if I could pat myself on the back, I'm going to pat myself back for about three different things that I see that's going on right now. I pat myself on the back because I was out front on the Trump train, how much I thought he was important. And those of you guys have been watching, it's been almost 2 years now, know that. And I took a lot of crap because of it. Second thing I've been spot on about is the destruction of white Anglo-Saxon men. The attack on white men. See, most people won't say anything about it because it sounds racist. We went through that the other day and talked about what racism is. It doesn't even exist. But it's the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male that has held the culture together. And right now we're seeing in our public schools and everywhere you look, we're seeing the denigration of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant male. The only guy that you can make fun of is the white man. It's the only guy that you can. We look at what's going on with our kids in schools and how they're being programmed. And everywhere you look, you just Google the article. I'm going to show you one here in a minute. Well, let's do it, Jared. Let's do that one. I got to find it. Columbus Dispatch.
Hey, while he's Googling? Hey, yeah. Coach, while you're Googling, can I tell all the white guys out there that you have a friend in this 6'4", big black guy?
Yeah, I wish you lived here, Vince. I could use you. I wish you lived here.
All righty. And I'm actually looking for work. You said this is okay to do. hrc4jail@mail.com. If you need someone to do remote tech support, something like that, write me.
I can give us that again, Vince.
HRC4JL. Yeah, sorry.
Services. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. HRC4, the number 4, jail@mail.com.
I'm trying to, I'm a football coach, and I'm trying to knock the damn sissiness out of men. That's what I'm trying to do, and it's a long, hard process, okay? Because I got to tell you, They are hammering us everywhere we look, particularly white men. Now, you go ahead and call me a race. I don't care. I don't care. The reality is that the white dude's got to stand up, man. White guy's got to stand up for what's good. Now, Jared, I want you to see this. On the stuff that I sent you today, Jared, I think it's the very last thing. It says white men. This is right here in Columbus, Ohio. This is a national story. Time out. See, some of you guys are uncomfortable because we talk about this stuff. We're losing because the culture is being filled with this stuff, and we don't respond to it. We don't answer the charge. We don't stand up and push back. We don't fight. They stripped our religion out of the schools. Now they're stripping our manhood out of the schools. Somebody say amen, so I know I'm not the only guy awake here this morning. And we're sitting back and we're watching them going and trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with America.
Amen.
Jared, shoot that up there, man. Look at this. This is Ohio State University. Right here where I live. Largest university in America. You probably didn't know that either. Ohio State course reprimands white heterosexual masculinity. I've been telling you. There's a reason why. Because the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant took the gospel to the world. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant did. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant brought peace and liberty. Well, we can argue about how many we killed and who we invaded and all that stuff, but we are where we are today because of the white heterosexual male in particular, and we're seeing everything done they can that they can do to destroy it. So here's the article. Welcome back, Joe. Masculinity simultaneously harms yet privileges men, the syllabus states. The Ohio State University. A class this spring at Ohio State University will review a parade of reasons why white heterosexual masculinity is allegedly problematic. Tackling the topic from the constructs of racial issues, bullying, pop culture, societal expectations, and much more according to the syllabus. Our freaking tax dollars pay for this. The course, Be a Man, Masculinities, Race, and Nation, includes a variety of readings that to that end, including its required textbook, Dude, You're a Fag, by C.J. Pascoe, which analyzed masculinity as not only a gender process, but a sexual one, its Amazon description states. Other assigned reading excerpts include Masculinity as Homophobia, Advertising Construction of Violent White Masculinity, Dude Sex, Dudes Who Have Sex with Dudes, College, Looking for My Penis, Sodomy in the New World, Teaching Men's Anal Pleasure. I'm not making this up. This class is also expected to screen Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the dashcam footage of Philando Castile's murder. Of course, it's ultimately presented as a study in feminist masculinity that seeks to explain how ideas about masculinity simultaneously harm yet privileged men. The syllabus states it also aims to explain how beliefs regarding masculinity serve to justify certain kinds of violence by men against others and violence against particular groups of men. I'm not going to go down any farther because it makes me want to puke. Let's go to this bar.
This is sick.
This is sick. This course was created by Jonathan Branfman. Branfman is a doctoral candidate at Ohio State's Department of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies. Why would anybody pay any freaking money to go for their kid to take a course like that? I'm feeling better today. Where am I?
Amen.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Serge. Where am I? I lost my plot. There it is. Branfman is also an author of a new children's book, You Be You, intended for 7 to 12-year-olds, that gives parents a simple and accessible way to introduce children to gender and sexual identity in hopes of decreasing stigmas associated with the LGBTQ community. Hey, listen, guys, I'm going to tell you something. There should be stigmas attached to it. There shouldn't be stigmas attached to being white heterosexual. There should be stigmas attached to the deviant side. Are you with me, guys? Do you see how they play us? Do you see how they play us? Oh, there's stigmas with being white, heterosexual, Protestant. Oh, stigmas attached. It's like when I tried to be football coach here at our local school. One of the board members says, well, Coach Dobbenmeyer carries a lot of baggage. Yeah, most of it good. Most of it good. Good baggage. We let them determine for us what's good and what's bad. Oh, my God. I'm feeling it this morning. I must be getting healthy. Are you ready? The goals of this course are both scholarly and practical. On a scholarly level, students will trace the scholarly debates about masculinity and understand how these questions have emerged out of feminist and queer research. Can you believe that we're, can you absolutely believe how sick this is? On a practical level, this knowledge may help students to understand the ideologies they encounter in daily life. In turn, this understanding may help students to navigate the pressures, exclusions, and violence they face in order to enhance their own well-being and others, the syllabus states. Now, guys, we know this. If we believe the propaganda, if we believe what they tell us, at the most, it's 3%. At the most, 3%. And there would have been a day when God-fearing men and women would have gone to Ohio State University and crushed this course. Can you imagine? Could I go to Ohio State University and try to teach a course on the virtues of white male heterosexuality? You think he'd let me teach that?
Hell
somebody
no.
Jump in here. I'm PI. You know what word I'm saying, right? That's what I am right now. That's what I am right now.
Yeah.
Makes me sick that we let this crap go on.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Coach. If you would have went there and teach something completely the opposite, they would have probably hung you.
Right. Sergeant, what if I went in there and tried to talk about the how about this? The criminal proclivities of black Americans. Could I do that? Hey, Vince, could I get away with that?
What would happen if a bunch of people showed up protesting that course on the first day of school?
Right. Well, the truth is we don't do that. Painkiller.
Larry, that's not very Christian. Christians don't do that, Larry. Christians are loving. Christians don't protest.
You're supposed to turn the other cheek, Larry.
Yes, sir.
Coach, I don't know how many people know what the homosexual manifesto even is, but when I make statements all the time that the LGBT, and I put P in there for pedophile movement, is focused on the children and on erasing the Anglo-Saxon Christian male, it's because they have a manifesto that was printed in 87. They also have platforms that were printed in 72 that say all males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in homosexual courts of justice and will become invisible men. That is their goal. That is their agenda. And it is being accomplished as we even sit here and speak.
We have our mission.
We've used that before, David. I'm not criticizing. We've used that before. We've talked about that before. And see, again, the reason that this all has been able to happen is the passivity, the passiveness, the sit on your arse attitude of the average American Christian. And where there's no leadership coming at all from the pulpit. I gotta show you something else. Thank you, Lord, for orchestrating this. I put some of this stuff together today and I couldn't figure out why the heck I put these things together. And now I'm beginning to see. Lord's always ordering my steps here. Jared, let's click. I sent you one today. Let me find it here. Jared, let's go to, it says, communist organization. We don't understand. We do not understand that the devil has a team and God has a team. And those two do not meet. There's a big mushy middle. And you are either on one side or you're on the other. The Lord said you're either hot or you're cold. If you are lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of your mouth. And unfortunately, most of America has come down to what I call lukewarm Christianity, okay? And guys, I don't know what I can do to help us as Christians learn to man up. I don't know what to do. And one of the things that I'm trying to do all around the nation is to put groups of men around you who agree with you. That's what we're trying to do. This is not something one guy can lead. This is not something a group of guys can lead. Some of you out there in the hinterland right now, you're going to have to man up. And you're going to have to call me or email me and say, Coach, I want to host one of these things at my house like Chad is. I want to do it. Show me how to do it. We'll help people get there. We'll draw people there. You have got to begin to get people around you who are like-minded, because I'm telling you, this is coming down the road faster than we can even understand. This is a Bertrand Daily Report. Never heard of it. Got it in the email today. Okay, I'm going to read fast. Got a cold. I'll do best I can here. Look, I look over to chat, man. Chat's blowing up. Love all you guys over there debating the issues. Powerhouse behind the Democratic Party and the DNC, DNC is an organization called America Votes. Okay, time out a minute. What is the powerhouse behind the Republican Party? What's the powerhouse behind the Christian Party? Can somebody tell me that? Anybody know what it would be?
Good question.
It is a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Say, well, Family Research Council. Okay. All right. Who else? Focus on the Scamily. No, I don't, they're not doing much about it anymore. Who would it be? Well, American Coach. Family Association. Yeah, I'll tip my hat to them. Who's the powerhouse behind the Republican Party? Yeah, Jared.
Well, we don't need a powerhouse because we win in the end.
Oh, Jared, you are learning. You are learning.
Man.
Yeah, Jared. Yeah.
Nail on the head there.
Okay. So their group's called the America Vote. Stay with me. Their supporters and affiliates are far and wide in the battle for progressive change, which actually means socialism on steroids. George Soros is the main donor and immobilized America Votes with billions of dollars to install Hillary Clinton into the White House. Soros and the DNC placed all their bets on Hillary to be the next president as early as when she was Secretary of State. And all of her maneuvering and scandals are indicative for a big win that did not happen. Keep on going down, Jared. The American Votes organization uses the same similar propaganda tactics as the Southern Poverty Law Center. Keep in mind as we read this, what is the Christian counter to this? The American Votes Organization uses the same similar propaganda tactics as the Southern Poverty Law Center by focusing on minorities while projecting a sense of sympathy and solutions created for lies and deception. The socialists say they are for the working family, but lowering taxes and an increase in take-home pay doesn't do it for them. But higher taxes, in their minds, will help the minority work. Keep going, Jared. Well, many minorities are secretly happy with more money in their pockets and beginning to show more support for President Trump. Hey, Vince, I saw that actually he's making some progress in black community.
Absolutely.
14% now like him. 14% now like him. Amazing. Yeah, according to the Atlantic magazine polls, the Dems are underfunded, no leadership, and desperate to take down this president. The Democratic Party has no leadership. You can't name a person who's in charge in a Democratic Party, but there are men behind the curtain. Stay with me. Preying on exploiting minority fears and indecisiveness is exactly what this organization does. The Marxist communist model for workers is a mixed bag of a socialist models that vary from country to country. In America, the push for socialism has been around for over a century and nearly went full-blown speed if Hillary Clinton had won. Praise the Lord! Therefore, the battle for a progressive socialist community structured for appeasing minorities, paid for by anyone or a family with an income above $40,000 a year. That is the push for 2018-2020. Going down, Jared. Socialists plan to put a lid on corporate profits and or share these profits with the workforce is in theory great for minorities that will never see themselves as entrepreneurs, but especially advantageous for illegal, for immigrants, legal or illegal, that will see little to do that will see little to no Social Security at age 67. We'll have to rely on welfare, free housing, and EBT food stamps controlled by the government. That's the people we're bringing in. Do you understand this? We're doing it on purpose. In contrast, the capitalist idea for a means of production is to make America great again by allowing the business community to expand, hire, and provide the necessary benefits to the workforce without later draining the economy through welfare benefits by limiting welfare to those that cannot survive, otherwise willing to be available, but not under past political policy by corrupt presidents to use welfare as a means for enticing political support for their vote. On down. I want to show you something here. Socialist communist politicians then enter service with thousands of dollars in bank accounts and after a couple of years become millionaires is not the result of capitalism, but is use capitalism as a means for scamming the taxpayer by exploiting minorities and foreign leaders. Can you say Haiti?
Yes,
then comes the absolutely. Money laundering and favors due from high-level enforcement types when they get it. Okay, when they get caught. Jared, slow scrolling down. I want you to we can read all this. I don't want to read. Go down. I'm going to show you their team.
I'm going to show you their Juan team. Williams, scroll down, brother. Jared. Juan Williams live.
I'm going to show you their team. Okay, America's Votes, which works with over four. Okay, now, guys, again, who's the Christian team? Who is the Christian team in influencing policy? Who is that Christian team? Can somebody, we know
exist.
Who the communist team is. Who is the Christian team influencing policy?
It doesn't exist. We didn't need it because we're going to win at the end.
We're going to win in the end. Okay, well, let's find out who America, what is America Votes? Who is our work in America Votes has brought together a wide range of causes and built a unified coalition that has transformed the progressive community works. In other words, socialist communism. Okay, are you ready, boys and girls? Jared, click on the blue AmericaVotes.org and look at their team.
Oh, no.
And ask yourself, where's the Christian team? Here we go.
Oh, boy.
The AAPI Victory Fund, the AFL-CIO, the Ask Me, another union, America's Voices, American Federation of Teachers, Bend the Arc, Jewish Action, the Black Pack, Brady Campaign, Center for Community Change, Center for Popular Democracy Action, Clean Water Action, Communication Workers of America Union, Emerge America, Engage Action, Emily's List, Environment America, EDF, what is that? Environment Defense Action Fund, Equality Federation, Every Voice. Keep going, Jared. Every Town for Gun Safety, Fair Share, Giffords Pack, House Majority Pack, Human Rights Campaign, Indivisible. Yeah. International Association of Firefighters, International Brotherhood of Teamsters, International Union of Operating Engineers, Latino Victory Project, League of Conservative Voters, Make It Work Campaign, My Familia Vota, Pro-Choice America, NARAL, NARAL Action Fund, the National Education Association, Next Generation America, NRDC Action, don't even know what it is. People for the American Way. Right. PICO. Planned Parenthood. Priorities USA. Rock the Vote. Senate Majority Pack. Service Employees International Union. The Sierra Club. State Innovative Exchange. United Food and Commercial Workers. U.S. Action. The International Participating Clinic. I'm running out of breath. You get my point. That's their team. That's their team. Where's the Christian team? I'm going to show you here in just a minute. Bear with me a second.
Oh, boy.
Jump in if you want to say something. I'm getting madder by the minute.
Juan Williams was under five 2 days ago, and he lied about Trump and black people and about their appreciation for him. They realize what he's doing for America. He's trying to make America great again for everybody who's American, and these sons of you-know-what are just, you know, communist aversive scumbags.
They are, brother. They are. And see, we're too loving and too kind to call them out, right? Meanwhile, they're teaching college kids that there's a sickness called white heterosexuals, males. There's something sick there, they tell us, right? Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute, Jared. Can I show you our team, Jared? Let me see if I can find it.
We should all be disappointed with getting more money back, right? Because the poverty pimps need to use it for themselves.
Amen, brother. Amen. I can't
Where
find
are they
it, Jared.
Getting their funding?
From us.
Now
of course they're getting
it.
A lot of it's government
and
grants.
Daddy Soros. And from Daddy George Soros.
Now, guys,
Soros
what did I tell you? Oh, there it is. Hey, Jared. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth one down, Jared. Fourth one down. 1, 2, 3, 4. Christian denominations. Here's our team.
Hey, Coach, I have a question.
Ready? Executive order.
Here's our team. Here's our team.
The team there.
Well, I want you to see it, Jared. Can you make it larger? There's a Latin church. It's 1.255 billion people. That's Catholic church. Okay, there's just a bunch of Catholic churches. It's going down through those. Then we have the Eastern Catholic churches. That's another 16.3 billion. Then we have the canonically irregular groups. Then we have the Protestants. It's 920 million people, by the way. 920 million Protestants. And let's go down. Look, Jared, we got the Baptist churches. But wait, no, Jared, we don't just have the Baptist churches. We have the Southern Baptist and the National Baptist and the Nigerian Baptist and the National Missionary Baptist and the National Baptist Convention and the Baptist Union of Uganda, the Baptist Community of Western Congo, the Baptist General. Go on down, Jared. Let's get past those Baptists. That's just the Baptist. This is our team. Then there's the Lutheran. Oh, we got the Evangelical Church in Germany and the Ethiopian Evangelical Church and then the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania and the Church of Sweden. Go on, Jared. Get them out of my face. There's our team. There's our team. Then there's Methodists,
60 to 80 million. The United Methodists, the African American Methodist, the Methodist Church of Nigeria, the Methodist Church of South Africa, the Korean Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church of Ivory Coast. Go on, Jared. The Presbyterians, another 50 million of them. Presbyterian Church of East Africa. On and on and on. Get past all those Presbyterians, Jared.
Just like Sarah said, Coach, in name only. It's a waste of your time.
In name only, brother. In name only. Go on down, Jared. Modern Protestants. I guess the others are old-fashioned or dead Protestants. Maybe that's what they are. They should say dead Protestants. Because here's modern Protestants. Oh, 67 Assemblies of God. 15 million apostolics. The Fang Cheng Fellow. 12 million of them. China Gospel Fellowship, the Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee, the International Church of Foursquare Gospel, the Church of God in Christ, Jesus is Lord Church Worldwide, International Pentecost Holiness Church, United, there's our team. Let's go on down. We got some more players. We got the non-denominationals, the evangelicals, the non-denominational ones, Calvary Chapel, and the Born Again Movement, the Association of Vineyards, and the Christian and Missionary. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
You know, our team spends most of its time in a circle shooting at each other.
Yes. That's why we have the dumb denominations. They don't agree with each other.
Right. Divide and conquer, brother.
Yep. And you know what it is? We never learned the very basic understanding. The churches are tax immune. They're not tax exempt.
Right.
And so they got stupid and they became incorporated. When they got incorporated, they partnered with the government, and now the government controls what they can and can't say. That's what I talked about yesterday. That yesterday, Religious Freedom Day. What the
they
hell are you talking
them.
About? Religious
owned.
Freedom Day.
They own them.
What?
They own them, brother. Own them.
The government owns the churches, fellas. The government owns the four churches. And I'm going to tell you this. I have seen it before. I remember when I was in the Promise Keepers long, long time ago. First got my feet wet in that. I came back, I was on fire for the Lord, and I, in London, Ohio, where I was football coach, people knew who I was. I was somewhat a public figure. They knew who I was. And I sent a letter to all churches in London, Ohio, and invited them to invite their men to come to a breakfast that I was having, my Promise Keepers. The football coach in a one horse town. There's only one school in town. The football coach sends a letter to every pastor, says, please come and please bring your men. Well, of course, how many came? About three. But can I tell you even worse? I got in trouble at school for using my position to try to organize religion. I'm not making the crap up. I'm not making it up.
Like, wow.
But you know why I got in trouble? Because the pastors called and complained to the principal that I was using my position to try to advance Christianity. I am not making this up.
Ye gods.
That's where we are, guys. That's where we are.
What year was that?
That would have been 1992.
Wow.
1992.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how far ahead of the curve that I was. So we see what the other side's doing and why they're winning, right? We see why. We have them far outnumbered. Far outnumbered. Yeah, we have no voice at all at the table.
Yeah. Well, that ends now.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, I got somebody jump in. I got 10 things I could talk about. Yes, go ahead.
Coach. Good, brother.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, last night I met with a pastor and some men, and they were in 1 Thessalonians, and they started asking me some questions about still doing abortion clinics, still doing this and that. And I said, yeah.
In other words, you were in the principal's office, Jeff? Were you in the principal's office? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Kind of. I don't even think it was qualified as a principal's office. Here's
okay,
what I
go
have.
Ahead.
These guys, one of the questions was, what are we going to do? And so I was sharing some stuff with them about what the pastor was letting me go. And then they come up with some stuff that's going on right here in the Mount Vernon schools. They had to keep it secretive, couldn't tell me a name, couldn't say really what's going on yet, but there's some really bad stuff going on. So at this point, we get down to the group of men, and a young girl walks in, a middle school age girl. And they said something about the schools, and she said, oh, yeah. Now it's official in Mount Vernon schools, the teachers are not allowed to call us boys and girls or ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what to call them. But we're sitting in this group. This one older guy sat beside me, a Christian man, after we just had all these discussions. He goes, oh, my. He said, I hope Donald Trump's going to do something. I said, what?
Oh, my Lord, huh?
It's like, so I talked to the pastor afterwards. You're supposed to get a list of things that are going on. I told him, I said, guys, let's go to the school board meeting. I said, we'll all sign up, get our 3 minutes. We'll go over there and hit him.
Because, Jeff, it's the same spirit that I talked about at the March for Life, where there's going to be 750,000, maybe a million people there, and they'll come in and they'll march and they'll go home. And the politicians know that they're going to come in and they're going to march and they're going to go home. And that's all they do. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything to appease them. Just get up on the podium and say, my name is Pat T. Barry. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and I'm pro-life. Yay! That's all that happened. If you've ever been there, that's all that happened. Yes.
That's going to be different now. I believe Trump is planning to address them.
Well, brother, yeah, Trump is addressing them, and I didn't pull this up. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Donald Trump has ordered his Department of DHS, yep, Department of Human Services, I think it is, DHS. He's ordered them to change their policies so that people do not have to forfeit their religious beliefs to meet the demands of others. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
Just went out yesterday that he is restructuring, has ordered the DHS to be restructured to where you do not have to violate your faith in order to meet somebody else's demand.
No more Kim Davises. No more Kim Davises.
No more Kim Davises. Well, oof. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
It's a start, I guess.
It's a start. Yeah.
You know, I had a lady from New York State. She works in Department of Health and Human Services. She called me and she said, David, she's like, they've added a new field to our computer. She said it says pregnant male.
And
she did some investigating on it. And this is a new field. As someone can identify as a pregnant male, which basically it's a female.
Stop it.
Who got pregnant. She identifies as a man, but she went and had heterosexual sex so that she could get pregnant, but she identifies as a man. But that's what this is, and this is all that, and that's just one of like 50 something identities that are in their computer fields for people to identify as.
So what's our team's response to that? Oh, I know.
It's okay.
Well, brother, let's pray for them that they'll get saved. Yeah. Let's just love on them and pray that they'll get saved while they're destroying our children.
Right.
Amen. They're destroying our stinking children, right? They're teaching in America's universities that the white guy is evil. You see that, don't you?
Yes, they are.
Can you imagine the uproar if they did that about the Indians or about the blacks? Or about the Muslims, or about the Mexicans. Can you believe it? It shows you how beaten down we are that we won't even stand up and rise up against it because they know they'll call us a racist. We're scared of that.
No, we're not scared anymore. I put the surcharge story up on Twitter. I'm not scared of it. So do a hashtag surcharge if you want to see it. Remember the surcharge story I talked about, the white surcharge?
Yeah, right.
Do a Twitter. For hashtag surcharge, and you'll see it.
Explain to us again, Vince, what that surcharge is.
Okay, so of course we've heard the white privilege that seems to I've never seen. But there is white surcharge where they charge white people more than they charge everyone else.
Because why?
Oh, because they're white. Because they can afford it.
Because they can.
They're white. No,
because they can, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, no problem. No problem. Except it's nonsense. It's nonsense.
It's freaking nonsense. Okay, let me shift gears. Anybody want to jump in? I want to shift gears real quick.
I just want to say real, real, real quick. The Democratic plantation mentality has been exposed. All of you poverty pimps, you are all exposed. And we are coming for you now.
Vince. I pray the black community wakes up. I pray the black community wakes up and becomes Christian. Christians wake up and become Christian. I pray the white Christians wake up and become Christian. I pray that they do. We saw the numbers. We saw how much we outnumber them. We know that in America's major corporations, that Christianity is not welcome, has to take a back seat to every diabolical, demonic ideology out there. Christianity is not welcome at the table. And if we don't stand up and begin to push back, we're going to suck our children. Well, Jared, pull up my commentary today. Good riddance to Obama. I sent this to all of you. One of his thoughts. I want to share this because I think this is the type of bold stuff we have to start doing.
Coach.
Yes.
Just kind of to bring a little hope into it anyway. You could see the power of a masculine man. I mean, it's women and then men who pretend to be women are supposed to obey a masculine man biologically. That's how it works. That's why, you know, like that's just how it works. So the power of a masculine man and then a Christian masculine man is even just one is so powerful that I think we really need to understand that as men, especially in your relationships with your wives, you are the leader. You are the man. Period. That's you don't have to explain it. I'm the man, you're the woman. End argument. End debate. It's over. That's the end of the debate.
And I got so much stuff to get out here today. Jared, I just switched gears on you. I got a video. It says feminist movement. It's the third one down, Jared. We may not watch it all. It's 10 minutes, but I want you to watch this. Feminist movement. Here we go, boys. 10 minutes.
Had to back up their agenda of public sterilization programs in the name of racial purity, in the name of Darwinism and eugenics. So they changed their strategies a bit. They used foundations, tax-free foundations, to siphon their money from their central banking system.
We just went through all those foundations. We just went through them all.
Especially to influence thought through the media and universities. And hence you have the birth of the feminist movement after World War II.
I met Rockefeller through a female attorney I knew.
Aaron Russo.
Called me up one day and said, one of the Rockefellers would like to meet you. I had made a video called Mad as Hell, and he'd seen the video and wanted to meet me and knew I was running for governor of Nevada. So sure, I'd love to meet him. And I met him, and I liked him, and he was a very, very smart man. And we used to talk and share ideas and thoughts. We were friends, and he used to come to my house a lot. We'd have dinner, we'd talk, and he'd tell me about business investments, how you get involved in, you know, or they would help me with this business investment or that business investment. And was I interested in joining the Council on Foreign Relations? You know, I would have to get a letter to join them, but was I interested in that? And, you know, just stuff, you know, leading you on. And I used to say to him that I never really did that because that wasn't where I was coming from. You know, as much as I like you, Nick, you know, your ways and my ways, we're on the opposite side of the fence. You know, I don't believe in enslaving people. He was at the house one night, and he would talk, and he started laughing. He said, Aaron, what do you think women's liberation was about? And I said, I had pretty conventional thinking about it at that point. I said, I think it's about women having the right to work, getting equal pay with men, just like they won the right to vote, you know? And he started to laugh. I said, you're an idiot. And I said, why am I an idiot? He said, let me tell you what that was about. We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded Women's Lib, you know? And we're the ones who got all over the newspapers and television, the Rockefeller Foundation. He says, and you want to know why? He says, there were two primary reasons. And they were, one reason was, we couldn't tax half the population before Women's Lib. And the second reason was, now we get the kids in school at an early age. We can indoctrinate the kids how to think. So it breaks up the family. The kids start looking at the state as the family, as the school, as the officials, as their family, not as the parents teaching them. And so those are the two primary reasons for Women's Lib, which I thought up to that point was a noble thing. You know, when I saw their intentions behind it, where they were coming from when they created it, the thought of it, I saw the evil behind what I thought was a noble adventure.
Aaron, did you know that Gloria Steinem, in one of her own books, now admits the CIA funded Miss Magazine?
No, I had no idea about that. No, I never heard that.
Yeah, we're going to...
CRA funded Ms. Magazine?
Funded Ms. Magazine with the stated goal of taxing women and breaking up the family.
No kidding. I never heard that. Well, Nick told me. I mean, I know it, but not because I know the CIA was involved in it.
Well, Gloria Steinem was proud of it. Oh, the CIA wanted to help me help women.
No kidding.
And so they funded it, yeah. And of course, it's divide and conquer.
Right,
and
of course.
What they do is they focus in, obviously, on real problems. Women were getting shafted in many ways, but the elite wasn't planning to help them. They were planning to really shaft them and take men away from them. Look at what they did with black families. You only had about 10% illegitimacy 50 years ago. In black communities, and now it's over 90%. And look at welfare. You were going to give you some money, but you can't have a man in the house.
Right.
And so that was further to degrade the family, totally destroyed, and now illegitimacy is over 50% in the general population.
Right. My friendship with Nick Rockefeller was one where we expressed ideas to each other and thoughts and philosophies, and he wanted me to become part of what they were doing. And for me to become a member of the CFR and offered various business opportunities for me to get involved in and for me to not take up the fight or the battle that I've been taking up in the past, you know, to drop that idea because what was the point of my fighting for the people? I was a guy who was very successful in the movie business and I saw the truth of what was happening. I tried to express it to the people. And rather than having me express it to the people, they wanted me to join their side because I was a mover and a shaker. And rather than me opposing them, to join them. It was real simple. And he tried to recruit me into that situation, and I didn't go for it.
The elite knew that they had to break up the family to decrease the population, to break the spirit of their slaves, basically, of their serfs. So that's exactly what they did. They told women that they were oppressed, under the loving care of their husband, that the only way to freedom was through a career, that having children, staying at home with your children was a symbol of slavery. It was outdated. They got the women in the workforce to increase the tax base so they could collect even more taxes, have even more slaves paying into the system to their central bank through the income taxes. They got the children out of the home, out of the arms of their mother, in order to brainwash the children at an even younger age. Most importantly, they broke the will and the spirit of husbands across the country, across the world. Because with a woman thinking that she doesn't need a man to protect and to care for her, what is there to fight for as a man? Nothing. So the feminist movement destroyed the family unit. And you saw skyrocketing divorce rates, skyrocketing rates of adultery, infidelity. They successfully infiltrated the universities and media systems. The television, for the first time, could be used to brainwash people in their homes directly. And if you look at the TV shows from the 50s all the way up until today, you see a steady, slow progression into the most disgusting, reviling things that you could imagine. You go from Leave It to Beaver to the most disgusting things you could possibly think of on television. Slowly but surely.
Hi, Daddy!
Kitten.
Well, I thought you weren't going to be in for dinner.
Well, we've been over the Davises working on something. Father, we have something we'd like to read to you.
Go ahead.
We think our father, James Anderson, should be named Father of the Year because he's our guidepost on the road of life. Although when we stray from paths he's marked so right, he doesn't say, I told you so.
Betty wrote it.
Bud helped.
And I agreed.
That's very nice, children.
It's in 25 words, too.
They're the most beautiful 25 words I've ever heard. Thank you. Very much.
So you think I'm a loser? Just because I have a stinking job that I hate? A family that doesn't respect me? A whole city that curses the day I was born?
Dinner time! Just kidding. We're sorry you had a bad day. Would you like some dinner?
Yeah.
Gee, I was hoping you'd say no. Give me money.
No.
Gee, honey, that's too bad. You know, I was thinking of getting you a nice, juicy steak.
Doesn't that sound good, honey?
And Peg, and those little rolls, when you open them up, hot comes out?
Steady. Steady.
No!
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Then me and my friend were about to press it, but the man said not to press it. But we pressed it anyway, and we ran and we hit in the giant tire. Oh, yeah, and my other friend was already there.
All right, now you're overstimulated. Let's get some beer in you, and then it's right to bed.
Woo-hoo! Okay, Jared, you can stop it. You get it, fellas. You get what they've done to us, the destruction of the family and the infiltration of feminism. And so these are the fruits that we're bearing as a result of it, not understanding exactly what's going on. So, again, what are we going to do? That seems to be the question. What are we going to do? Where we are when the offense is so much on the offensive right now, and the only antidote to it is the truth, and we don't even seem to want to go there. Reaction, somebody, somebody come in.
We're spreading truth. Let me tell a quick story. I'm a big black guy. I'm 6'4". I live in Brooklyn. Star Wars came out. I bought the book. I went to the movie. I read the book. There's not one black guy in the first Star Wars movie. Did I care? No. I grew up idolizing Spider-Man. Is he black? No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We are all brothers.
Amen, Vince. The question we have to ask ourselves, dads, I'm a granddad, who are our children idolizing, and why is it not us? Why is it not us that our children are idolizing? See, I don't know how you guys are. I don't know where you are in your life. When I was raising our children, Michelle and I were raising our children, I was actively trying to make a living. I was coaching. I was doing a lot of things. I was basically living my own life, and all of a sudden I wake up, and my son's 16. I'm like, what guy? Where did this guy? Well, we took him to church. We did all the right stuff with him. Yeah, but I wasn't aware of all the other influences that were going on in his life, and who he was idealizing, and who he was listening to, and who was influencing him. And then the invention of the internet comes in there, and we have absolutely no most of us now, absolutely no communication, very little input into the lives of our children. But it has to be purposeful. When especially now we're fighting against a society that is saying, dad, you are not important. You are a clown. You are a klutz. You're just a slob. Mom's the one. Mom's the real one. And then we have 70% of children in the black community don't even have a daddy, and they go into the school and they walk into the school. It's all women. No daddies at home. All women in the schools. It's happened. You walk into your local public school, go knock on the door and go in there. Under fifth grade and under, go and knock in there. As far as I know, the population is about 50-50 men and women, about 50-50. Walk into your local elementary school and see how many men you see in there. You don't see any men. You see women in there.
Coach?
Yes.
Have you ever wondered why in The Simpsons you just played Homer, of all jobs, he's a reactor operator in a nuclear plant?
Hmm.
So just picking a job for the klutz, Homer Simpson, it's really interesting that they picked a job that takes how many years to learn how to do. You know, I was a reactor operator, and when that came out, it kind of struck me. Why that job? Why wasn't he a trash collector? Why wasn't he a big screw-up in life, for real? He was a reactor operator, and they made him look like a buffoon. So I never got that. I never got why he was a reactor operator in The Simpsons. Just one of the things I never understood, but it makes sense now.
Right, yeah. Why was it funny, right? You know, he should be shoveling elephant crap, not working a reactor.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe some of you guys can help me out for a second here. About 20 years ago when I first got a computer, I ran across a old, I guess you could call it was a video, but it was a video of a 8mm documentary. And what it was is Congress ordered an investigation of the Rockefellers and a couple of other organizations back in the 50s. And they hired this private investigator, and he went out and he took, you know, secret films as he was interviewing people and stuff like that, and secret recordings as he was doing it. And he came up with some hard, rock solid physical evidence of the kind of stuff that you guys have been talking about how the Rockefellers and big money places funded on purpose all the new thinking processes and everything they were trying to push about feminism and all that. I mean, he had it back in the 50s. He had the hard evidence on the big players that were pushing this thing. He reported it to, he reported his findings to the committee in Congress in the House of Representatives that was investigating the Rockefellers and them back then. And within minutes after he submitted his report, he was fired, and not another word was spoken about it anywhere in Congress.
Oh, yeah, we know, yeah, of course.
We know that's going on. Let me wrap this up here. I'm running down. Just got a few minutes. Hey, fellas, listen. I'm serious as a judge. Our judge is serious. I heard that one. I'm serious as my wife cooking a meatloaf. That's pretty serious stuff. You got to get ready. You got to get ready. I'm telling you, you have to get ready. The enemy is so entrenched. And if you think, number one, that Donald Trump is going to heal all of America's wounds, you know what he's doing? He's poking the hornet's nest. He's poking the hornet's nest. So when I sit behind this camera and I say to you, you invite me into your living room or wherever you're watching this today on your cell phone, and I say to you, you got to build a down, you got to build a downline. Somebody, it just goes over your head. And I'm trying to tell you,
okay,
that the building of the downline with what Chad Estes is doing,
that's right,
may be to the saving of your family. It may be to the saving of your family. And you are going to have to begin to get out and move out and find like-minded people in your area. Now, the long-range vision, I don't know what the long-range vision of the Salt and Light Brigade is this, but wouldn't it be awesome if we built, if everybody built themselves a downline and we put out a clarion call that something, I don't pick out whatever it is, something's going on somewhere, and we said, we need some boots on the ground in Biloxi, Mississippi, and 10,000 people showed up.
Amen.
See, that's not happening just because we're not thinking that way. We're not thinking that way. And the destruction of our culture and a society is going on around us, and some of us won't even get involved to the point where we'll tell somebody else and try to get organized. We won't speak up in our church. We won't speak up in our men's group. We won't speak up. We won't speak up in our family. Guys, you've got to start finding like-minded people right where you live, because although Trump's the one that told us it was the calm before the storm. Do you remember that? He said it's the calm before the storm. Well, I pray I'm wrong, but I'd rather be prepared than not be wrong. And I encourage more of you to start building a little team, a little downline, a little army right where you live. You know, Chad's group's out there. Nobody knows they're out there. They'll get together, 20 some of them, but they'll know each other, and they'll depend on each other. Trouble comes, they'll be able to rely on each other. Well, we need a bunch of little Texas brigades like that all across America. I implore you, encourage you, step out of your comfort zone. There are many out there who agree with you. Many of you. How many out there? How many of you folks right now are sharing this show? How many of you share this show? And even though they reject you, say stop sending that crap to me. Stop doing it. Continue to do it. You never know. It's a sifting process. You're going to pick up one here and you'll pick up one there. And the ones that get mad at you, they ain't your friends anyway. We live in unbelievable times. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, boasters, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such men turn away. Baby, it is right in front of us. I don't know if the rapture's in front of us. I don't know if the end times are right in front of us.
But all society is breaking down all around us. And we're the salt. We're the light. This could be our greatest hour. God bless you. See you tomorrow.